This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
There's a reason they didn't ask me to dance. I don't understand why I didn't get invited. I don't get invited to sing, and I don't get invited to dance, and I don't understand why. Hey, so we're kicking off a series today called Summer Bod. How many of you, when you woke up this morning, you thought you would experience that at church this morning? Probably not. Well, welcome to Motion Church. We do things just a little bit differently. So we are kicking off a series, like I said, called Summer Bod. And so the idea here, how many of you, we're going to take a poll. Last week, I asked everybody if they knew what a rhetorical question was, and everybody answered the question. I'm like, that's not what rhetorical means. But we take a poll. How many of you have said or thought or put some action into losing a few pounds or getting into better shape for the summer? I got a friend. He was like, man, I'm going to the beach. And he's been starving himself. And he's been going to the gym. And then he went to the beach. And now he's just let himself go. So that's not the point here. But I think what we do collectively in culture is we kind of emphasize getting in shape for the summer. And so I thought, let's play off of that. I think it's also important to take some time to make sure we're staying in shape spiritually. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few spiritual disciplines over the next few weeks. But to do this, I'm not going to just come up here and give you all of my ideas. I'm actually going to help us or bring up with us some personal trainers to help us to get into shape. So Shelly Ree, my baby mama, and Jordan McAllister are going to come and help us today, because today we're talking about worship. Worship, I believe, is a spiritual discipline. I think it's something that helps us to get and stay spiritually fit. And so you guys are going to, I'm telling you, you guys are in for a treat. Not only was that incredible, but what you're about to experience is awesome. So Jordan, tell them a little bit about yourself.
So my name's Jordan. I help here with the worship team and the production team. So I co-lead with Shelly up here on the stage and everything that involves, you know, planning what songs we do with the singers and the band. And then I also co-lead with John Silas for all of the backstage stuff. So everything you see on the screens, our lights, and everything like that.
Also, and I don't mean this, you know that I don't mean this derogatorily. Jordan is probably one of the smartest people you'll ever meet. Like, he's brilliant. But he's like this perfect combination of nerd and cool. Like, he's like, if it's possible for you to be a super nerd and super cool, it's Jordan McAllister. It's so true. And then yeah. Shelly, my baby mama.
Oh, Lord, stop saying that.
I will forever say that.
I just lead worship here. We have an awesome team. I'm the one that gets to have fun. Like, what if we did the Backstreet Boys? And then Jordan's like, oh, God, do I have to sing it? And I'm like, yes. So, and wasn't it awesome? They just did a killer job. Yeah.
All right. So before we go any further, I think this is important. We didn't talk about this earlier, but I think this is really cool because we do some different things, right? We think creativity is important. Why is creativity important as a part of worship?
As a part of worship?
Yeah. Just like, speaking of worship, some of the songs that we sing and some of the things that we add, like in terms of video and stuff like that, stuff that you do, and then some of the elements. Why is creativity important in worship? Well, this is bonus. You guys, the first experience didn't get this.
Yeah, this is not a planned question. To me, the reason why creativity is important in worship is because our God is the creator. And I don't know if you've looked at yourself lately or some things around the, like just crawling on the ground. We have a creative God. And to me, to bring him anything boring and uncreative is just...
It's lazy, honestly. Yeah.
It's lazy, yes. So, I mean, to me, I'm like, how can we make it more creative? Like, how can we make it reflect God's image? He is the creator.
And I think it's obviously important, too, like, to be creative and reverent at the same time. And,
for sure.
And trying to find that balance.
But I also think that worship and things like our creative elements can be fun. Because God is also a God of joy. And it's something that he gives us to overcome our battles. So if we can't have fun and laugh and have joy, then what are we doing with our lives?
So good.
Yeah, I think she nailed it on the head. You know, God is a creative, and so are we. And so I think with the spiritual gifts that he's given us to lead worship, I think we should give our very best. And I think that's the creative best. And all the things, all the elements that we add gives opportunities for volunteers to also use their spiritual gifts and their talents to bring glory to God. So
that's so good. Hey, before we go any further, I forgot to do this earlier. I was supposed to. Did everybody get one of these? You're probably sitting on it if you don't have one. Just so dig deep, or don't dig deep. Don't do that. Might be too bad. So you should have one of these either under you, in your hand, or near you. So if everybody, before we leave, if you could do us a small favor and fill it out. It's literally four lines. And we're just trying to shape up our information, our database. Trying to
our
get
database
it into shape.
Summer bod.
Yeah, get our database needs a new summer bod. So if you guys could, before you leave, fill that out, leave it on your chair, and we'll pick it up after you leave and before we get out of here. That would really help because we're trying to just get all of that information up to date. Okay, so let's talk about worship. What is worship? How would you define worship? How would you describe worship just from a very fundamental level? What is worship?
Outside of just singing, I would say it's an expression of your love and your affection for the one who created you and created the ones around you. I think simply it's that, you know, it's more than just the corporate worship that we experience here on Sundays. It's everything and more.
Yeah, for me, worship is just, it really just depends on my mood. You know, you hear me, ladies? You know what I'm saying? It just depends on my mood. Like, sometimes I'm like, worship is winning. Yes. And then I'm like, sometimes worship is warfare, and it's my weapon. And then sometimes worship is wisdom. It's just getting to know more of the heart of God and just growing in Him. So it really just depends.
That's really good. I think when I think about worship, to me, because it is the highest expression of affection that you have for a person or a thing, right? So if you say that you love someone, we hear that expression all the time, you love someone or you love something, well, that's deep. But if you worship someone, if we use this, just think in terms of like a human relationship. To say that you love someone, well, that means a lot. To say that you worship someone, well, that's a whole nother level, almost creepy, right? But when it's those affections are directed towards God, He's worthy of our worship, He deserves it. There's just a depth to it, right? It's like it's recognition that He is and I am not, that He is the creator and I'm the created, and He deserves all of my adoration, all of my affection, all of my attention. So that's, when I think about worship, that's kind of what comes to mind for me. Not that anybody asked, but all right. So I think it's cool that we kind of have a baseline understanding of worship. But I think what happens in church so often is church people, we use church words and church terms, and we talk church. So how would you describe worship to someone who doesn't go to church or someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus?
I would probably use an analogy like, you know, worship is our spiritual compass that centers our lives around and towards God. So in the obedience to Him, that is the worship. Everything that we do that is congruent with where God is and where our lives are going, as long as it's pointed towards God, that is worship.
I think a lot of unchurched people would think worship is singing. I mean, I kind of do sometimes. I mean, even though I am a church person, I'm like, oh, yeah, worship is when you get together and you sing. But I think if I were talking to someone and actually explaining what that meant, I would say that worship is an attitude, and it's also an act. And so in the Bible, it tells us to worship God in spirit and in truth. So spirit is checking that heart and, like, just really connecting with God wholeheartedly. And then worshiping God in truth would be following and aligning your life with the truths in His truths, like the commands that He gives us to do and things like that. So, and it's an attitude and an act, not just singing.
That's good. So it's both, right? Yeah. I think, why do we do that? Like, so I think it's really important because I think you mentioned it, and Shelley, you just mentioned it there. We reduce worship to singing as if worship is only something that we do together on Sunday morning. Why do we do that, and what is worship more broadly?
I think it's a good place to start, especially for new Christians. It's like, what is worship? Well, the easiest way that you can worship is, you know, joining together on Sundays and corporately worshiping with everybody, and that is worship, and that's probably the most simplest terms of the worship, even though it is much more. It's, you know, your spiritual connection with God, whether that's quiet time or prayer, but I think we reduce it because it's easier for Christians to understand and for them to practice, especially on Sunday mornings, worship is singing to them.
Because we tend to compartmentalize, right? It's like, okay, well, we're done with the worship part of our service or experience, so let's go to the tithe and offering, and then let's go to the preaching. And it's like, well, no, all of it's worship, right?
Yeah,
every part of it is directing our affection and attention towards God because He's worthy of it, but we just call that worship. It's all worship. And I just thought it was weird how we do that. So let's stop doing that. It's all worship, right?
It is.
All right, so how does worship contribute to our, since we're doing a series called Summer Bod, we're talking about being spiritually conditioned, spiritually in shape. How does worship contribute to our spiritual fitness?
So it's like, as you mentioned, it's kind of like a weapon, a tool. And so whenever you first get a new tool, or maybe you've started with this weapon concept, you're not very proficient at it, right? So the use of this tool that God has given us, as we use it more, becomes kind of like our fitness goals of, like, where do we want to be with our connection with God? We got to use it often. We got to do it on a daily basis in order for our spiritual fitness to grow. that's part of using worship over and over and on routine builds spiritual fitness. There we go. It's kind of, you know, similar to that aspect, is you got to use it, and it's part of your tools, and it's part of your fitness, and as you use it more, more spiritually fit.
Yeah, I think you kind of, the direction you were going there, you mentioned like going to the gym, right? When you go into the gym for the first time, you're probably not going to be very good at a lot of the things. You're going to find out how weak you are, and your stamina is not good.
Oh, and then people watch you. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like that in church when you worship, right? That's why we keep it dark in here, honestly.
That's very practical.
We keep it dark in here because we don't want people to feel weird when they try new things in worship. Like maybe you want to clap your hands for the first time. Maybe you want to raise your hands.
Yeah.
We also keep it really loud so that, I mean, don't you think it's kind of loud out there? But the reason we keep it loud is so you can sing and not worry about what your neighbor is hearing.
There's actually, like, there's a method to the madness,
there
right?
Is,
it
there
really is.
There's a reason
we like
why.
It darker so that people feel more comfortable in worship and it's loud. Because I don't know about you, but I don't sing very well. Do I have anybody that will voluntarily admit that you don't sing very well? But I love to sing, and I am less comfortable singing if it's real quiet and everybody can hear me singing. But if it's loud and I can just let that thing rip, let's go.
Do it.
It's good. Do you have anything else on spiritual worship, like spiritual fitness in terms of worship?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it's good. We're going to talk about routine later, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why is it, this is kind of that question, segue, why is it essential for Christians to engage in regular worship? Why is the routine part of it important?
Yes.
Because worship doesn't, I don't think it comes natural to a lot of people, so you have to be kind of intentional with your worship, kind of like going to the gym. You got to be intentional. You don't just find yourself in the parking lot. it's something that builds your spiritual fitness, and it's something you have to do on routine in order for it to grow. You know, you're not going to get better at worship if you're the average churchgoer who comes every 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
You got to practice it, and you got to practice it daily in order for you to improve, in order for your connection with God to improve. You got to do it on routine.
That's good.
Yes, for sure. I think just doing it more often is super important, not just doing it on Sunday morning, like, oh, we're just going to worship on Sunday morning, and then Monday through Saturday, you don't worship God. But it's definitely an attitude of worship that you have every single day. But I also encourage you to sing and to worship God every single day, because when you do that, like, it just makes you a lot more vulnerable with God. If you're talking
do
to
it.
Someone,
you were thinking
if you're
about
talking
it.
To someone, it doesn't feel crazy vulnerable. But like if I sing to you while I'm talking to you, it feels crazy vulnerable. Like it's like a Disney movie, you know? Like where they're singing to each other and you're like, why don't we live our lives like that? I would love that.
Listen, you guys don't have any idea what I have to live with.
Like how are you, Chris?
Shelly legit wants her life to be a musical.
Do you remember
and
that time,
like,
I told you?
Stop.
Blah, blah, blah.
Stop. Right. Well, that would make it a lot better when you're telling me to take out the trash. Can you sing that?
Yes, I can sing you.
Let's go.
I can sing that.
Can you sing it right now?
I say, take out the trash. Oh. And I can have like a beat.
Oh, yeah.
Like the song we just did.
Yeah. So singing, obviously, again, worship is not...
It makes you more vulnerable.
Worship is not limited to singing, but that is part of it. All that we do is worship. I think even kind of, we've mentioned this before, but like even work is worship, right? What you do, how you do it, the quality of work that you put out, the effort that you put into it. Again, like how you approach, the attitude with which you approach it, that's worship, right? What you do, what you create with your own hands and your own mind, that's worship. But it's not just that. It's all of it. But singing is probably the most natural expression or the most fundamental expression of worship. So I think that's important.
And it's important to do it a lot.
It is.
On routine. Come to church every Sunday.
Like, even if you're not good at it.
Like, well, and just setting time aside every day to do it, like just to worship God. Like if you're on your way to work, that's the perfect time. Like definitely after you drop the kids off. And it's nice and quiet. Crank up the music. Crank up your favorite song and just worship God, you know?
Yeah. So if you see Shelly driving down the road and like she's like got the head bobbed.
Oh, I just drive with my knee because I like to raise both my hands. Yes. And then if I die in a car wreck, I died in worship. It's fine.
I'm pretty sure you get like a speed pass to heaven if you die while you're worshiping.
I hope so.
I don't know how that works, but theologically, probably not good. Okay, so how do we make worship a more integral part of our daily lives beyond just church? This is awesome. This is important. But how do we make worship something we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just on Sunday?
Like I said before, it's not going to just happen. You have to be intentional with it.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, before you wake, you know, as you wake up, the first thing you do in the morning, what is it? Are you going to be praying? Are you going to have quiet time with God? Are you going to read your Bible? You have to be intentional with it if you want it to start becoming a habit and for it to actually work and growing your spiritual faith. Because it's not going to just happen on its own.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Can you say the question when we're done?
How do we make it more of an integral part of our daily lives? How do we worship more during the week and not just leave the emphasis to what we do on Sunday morning?
I think really it's like levels of worship. Like for me, corporate worship, it's like very surface. I mean, not always, but for me personally, it's very surface level because of the worship life that I have outside of church. Like this feels natural and easy. But when I'm by myself, a lot of times when I'm reading scripture and it's talking about how people worshiped, there's a lot of singing, a lot of giving praise, a lot of giving thanks, but there's also a lot of fear and trembling. And it's like, wow, you don't think about that level of worship, but it's like, it's almost like you feel so close to God that you're scared. I definitely would encourage everyone to just try to just tap into that because God is like this amazing God who is so reverent, and you just when you're in his presence, you're just like, oh my gosh, God, you're so real and you're so big. And I think too, when we do this more, we're taking ourselves, like the attention off of ourselves, and we're focusing more on God, then all of our problems and everything around us becomes much more small. And I think it's important to get in your lane when it comes to when you're worshiping. It is not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's about connecting with God, and it's about who he is in that moment. And I think just taking time to worship him for who he is and give thanks for what he's done, you can quickly forget about yourself. And I think that that is so important to do.
That's really
good.
So
important.
It really is. I think worship, you just get to know the heart of God.
Yes.
When you worship, and if you know the heart of God, it's a lot easier to reflect him well.
And you also get to know your heart.
That's scary.
And that can be something that like, oh, my heart is not right in this moment, and let me fix that. And I think until you're connecting with the heart of God, you may not realize that your heart is in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's so good. It reminds me of Psalm 51 where David's like, hey, man, and David had gone through some really, really self-induced drama, right? And his response was, God created in me a clean heart. And it was like, my heart, now that it knows your heart, knows that my heart needs to be fixed.
Yes.
And he did that through worship.
Yes.
I thought that was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, you talked about this in the first experience. It's like if you were to just have a conversation with somebody and once every Sunday or once every 6 weeks, like the average churchgoer, you wouldn't really know them very well, would you? It's something that you have to have a continual and constant conversation and relationship with somebody, not just saying, you know, hello on every Sunday for once.
That's so good. Yeah. All right, so how does worship help us in times of trials and challenges? Like life is difficult sometimes. So how does worship help us through those difficulties, especially given that our tendency when things go crazy, we tend to kind of run away from God. A lot of people do. So how does worship help us navigate those difficult times?
Yeah, so the first thing we do is we try to run away from the church. You know, if something happens, we're going through something, we stop going to church. That's most people's first thing that they stop doing, when really it's the first place you need to run to.
Yes.
Because you know, in those situations, we realize how small we are and how, you know, these problems that govern our lives. But the moment that we center our lives around Jesus, knowing that he's bigger than our problems, I think the whole thing changes, knowing that I'm going through something in challenging times. God is with me. And, you know, some of the songs that we sing talk about this kind of idea. But being in that relationship, that connection with God, knowing that he's got my back no matter what happens.
Yeah, that's so good.
For me, a lot of times when I'm going through something hard and I want to focus on worship, I like to remind myself of the things that God has already done. And that increases my faith that he's also going to take care of this next thing too. Because, I mean, it's one of those things, it's easy to forget all the things that God has done because, believe it or not, God has done a lot for you. And when you worship and you take time to remember what he's done, it just gives you faith that he's going to bring you through again and that he's going to do it again. And so to me, that's another important thing is just focusing.
I think one of the best examples of that is the song Another in the Fire, where it's like there's the fourth in the flame. Should I ever need reminding of how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle because I know that's where you'll be. And one of my favorite parts that they added, and if you look at the story behind the song and why they wrote it, it's it's a tearjerker. Yes. But they add this part where they say, and even if he doesn't, I will praise him. And even if he doesn't, I will worship him. And yes. I think that's really powerful. Like, I think, you know, we think that God is going to be able to cover us for everything, but even if he doesn't, we will worship him and we'll give him praise because he has the whole picture and only he knows what's in store for us.
Yeah. That's so good. I think worship is so much about perspective, right? Yes. So if I'm going through something that's difficult or challenging or hard for me, if I maintain a level of worship and I keep my eyes on something that's way bigger than the problem that I'm facing, man, it just helps me to stay centered. It helps me to not allow those circumstances to be overwhelming. And again, ultimately remembering that God is incredible. God is bigger than anything that I go through. And he is worthy of my worship regardless of what I go through.
I feel like when you're going through something, you just feel like you're way down here. And that song that we were singing just where it says, "Oh valley, be raised up. Oh mountain, be made low." Sometimes we're that valley that needs to be raised up, and our problems are this mountain that needs to be brought low. And so I think it's important too that when we worship, God can fill your cup like no one can fill your cup. Like if you're going through something, you can call your best friend and vent to them all you want, but when you get off the phone, you really don't feel better about yourself, right?
You're just empty at that point. You're not
just
filled.
And you're just emptying out to someone who can't really help you. But man, when you do that, when you vent or give all of that to God, he is the only one that can just fill you up and just like, man, it is going to be okay. Like, God has got my back in this situation. He is going before me. He's always with me. And it's just, it's so inspiring. It makes our trial feel like, okay, whatever, bring on the next one because God's going to bring me through that too.
Yep. So. That's so good. So good. So how do we keep our worship fresh? I know that's such a, again, worship is not about your feelings, but you want to feel like it's making progress. It's meaningful. So how do you keep your worship fresh? How do you keep it from becoming kind of ritualistic or routine and keep it where it has, again, that right heart and kind of the proper connection to what it's supposed to be? Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. How do you keep it fresh?
Just be creative. One ways that we try to do that for you guys on corporate worship, keeping it simple, is we try to venture out from just, you know, KVNE or K-Love songs. You know, there's a lot of songs out there that really go deep. The problem with radio songs is they shorten them to like little 3-minute segments. And really that's just not enough to connect with sometimes like the words of the song. 10 minutes for certain songs I feel like is crucial in order to kind of go deeper into worship and kind of like feel that connection with God. So just be creative, you know, it's more than just singing, it's everything. So that's how you keep it fresh and vibrant.
That's good.
That's a great question for Jordan and I and anyone that's on our production team. Keeping it fresh is hard because by the time we deliver a song to you guys, quite frankly, we are over it. Because we have rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and we've listened to it all week and we've practiced and we've changed the key and we've changed the arrangement and we're just like, ugh. But we keep it fresh because we know that up here is not our best. Like, we're doing our best worship outside of Sunday morning so that when we come on Sunday morning, we can give you guys what's awesome. But for us, it feels like, okay, we've done this. We're ready. Like, we are ready to lead you guys. We're not really receiving in that moment. We're giving in that moment. We're giving to you guys. And so I hope that you can feel that when we're on the stage and we're trying to just encourage you guys to just push through and just worship, just to bring that atmosphere and the presence of God into the room. But more than that, talking about keeping it fresh and keeping it vibrant is, I think sometimes you sing a song with your unconscious mind, not unconscious, but subconscious, you're alive, sorry. Your subconscious mind. I mean, if you're unconscious and you're singing, that's pretty awesome. But sometimes we sing with our subconscious mind and we don't even realize what we're singing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever listened to a song as an adult that you sang as a child? Because you're like, let's show our kids this song. You're like, oh my God, I did not know that's what
Give
that was saying.
Example.
Turn it off.
Give us an example of a song from, like, because, you know, we grew up in the 90s, so there's songs that
I
we
think
sang.
You were letting the kids listen to Pony Boy, maybe that was.
Pony Boy?
I don't know.
No. Like, Pony by Genuine?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No. No, I knew exactly what that was about.
I can't remember. Hey, our anniversary is next weekend, okay? 22 years.
Jeez, Shelly.
I'm just saying, there was a question, some song that we were listening to, and we were like, yeah, we need to let the kids listen to this. And then we were like, turn it off. Because we all of a sudden were listening to the lyrics with a conscious mind. And sometimes when we are leading worship or when we're just singing a song that we've heard a million times, maybe a hymn, you know, maybe something like, oh yeah, I know that like the back of my hand. You're not really understanding what you're singing because you're just singing it because you know it. But when we sing songs with a conscious mind, you're like, oh my God, that is what that song is saying.
It's so much more meaningful when you really, really dive in the depth of the words and what it means. For example, you mentioned a hymn, Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you, like me. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. And when you start to wrap your mind around around what's being communicated, and then you couple that, why do we sing it versus say it, right? Because singing has this very visceral element to it, right? It's an emotional thing. And then you couple that with the fact that you are worshiping God, so you sing these incredibly meaningful words to a God who is worthy. It just creates this perfect storm, right? It's everything about it is right.
Yes.
And so I think that's so true. Like knowing and understanding what songs you're singing, what the words are to the songs that you're singing.
Yeah, not just singing it, but like literally knowing those words and letting them change who you are. Because a song can go where no one else can go. And it's a very powerful thing when you sing.
That's so good. So what would be, let's finish with some application. I believe that it's important. Like, let's not just talk abstract. Let's talk about practical. So how would you, or what's some practical tips that you would give to someone maybe who's struggling to find kind of, again, not about your feelings, but again, the meaningful connection to worship or in worship. What are some practical advice that you would give to someone in that situation?
I think doing exactly what y'all just talked about is first having a conscious mind. So if you're struggling to find a meaningful connection in worship time, I would say the first step is understand the songs you're singing. So,
yes.
You know, we sang four songs today. Does everybody know what they all meant?
Right.
If, you know, the first song, Till Our Lungs Give Out, the whole idea behind that song is, you know, our time on this earth is limited, and in forever in heaven we will be worshiping him. And so he gave us the breath to worship him, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing until our lungs give out. And it literally makes you sing until your lungs give out.
It does. I was so tired.
And then so our second song, Holy Water, the whole heart around holy water is the forgiveness of God, the powerful forgiveness of God and the craving. Like, we want that forgiveness. That's why the words are like, your forgiveness is like a sweet, sweet honey on my lips.
Yes.
It's like the sound of a symphony. It's something that we crave, and it's sweet. And it's something that we all want. And then we get to the bridge, and I'm pretty sure Paul talked about this in Romans, and he's like, the abundance of grace that God has, even though he has that abundance of grace, should it be something that we take advantage of or that we abuse? And so the bridge of holy water is, I don't want to abuse your grace, God. I need it every day. It's the only reason that makes me want to say your forgiveness. And so then Lion, that's that third song that we sang. I think this one is the hardest one for most people to understand because it is jam-packed full of biblical references. You know, God of Jacob, the great I am, pride of Zion. You know, you alone are worthy to open up the scroll, which is a reference to Revelations 5, the scroll of the seven seals. And so that song is really hard to unpack for new Christians just because there's so much in it, and it literally covers the whole Bible. It's talking about the prophecies that were made, that all of them were fulfilled. He is the Lion, Lion of Judah, and he is to be worshipped as so. He is the great I am. And so that whole song is focused around he is our king, and he's powerful, and he's great, and we should worship him as so. And then our last song, Protector. And that one's not too hard to understand. He's our protector. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Whenever we need him, he's there. He'll be there by our side. And so I think the first step in order to look towards having that connection, know what you're singing. And if that means that you don't sing during corporate worship, you want to listen to the words and figure out, how do these apply? What does this mean? I think that's fine. I think that's the first step.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so, so good. I think it's important. Again, there is a depth that comes, I think, kind of having freedom just to hear it first and then think about it, really process it, and then to sing it, like, now that you understand it, then to sing it. And again, kind of, you have this full, genuine expression of worship because you're singing and you understand what it is that you're singing.
Yeah, and in Romans 12 also, it tells us that true and proper worship is to offer your body as a living sacrifice to Jesus. And so that is definitely not talking about singing and corporate worship. That is talking about the way you're living your life every single day. That is true and proper worship to God. And I think it's important to remember outside of church that the way we live our lives is worship. And are you doing that properly and true like the Bible calls us to?
That's so good. And just that passage, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I mean, it covers the gamut, right? Mm-hmm. It says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's all connected, right? All of our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, mm-hmm. our work, our children, our family, like everything in our life is an opportunity for worship. And I think it's just really important that we not just allow those things to pass by, that we're intentional and we take time to worship. And it helps us to have that summer body.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely feeling better about my worship summer bod after Jordan's helped us personally train to get ready for that. But before we do, how many of you guys know that we were created to worship? I know some of you guys thought you were created to just work. That is so lame. You weren't. You actually were created to worship. And so our life here on earth is so short, and then we'll be physically dead, but spiritually alive in heaven, where we will worship God forever. And so I have a little illustration that I want to show. Hopefully this goes better than it did last time, but basically I have this rope. We'll see if it can. Yay! Okay, it's a rope. It's really long. It's a really, 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 really long rope. Is it still coming? Okay, yeah, it's still coming. It's really long. Just keep pulling that, Chris. But you guys see how long this rope is, right? This rope represents, there's 200 feet of it. It's just, it could go around this whole auditorium. But it represents eternity. Because this is the only thing that I could think of that, because you know you can't think about forever because it just gets weird. You're like, forever and ever and ever and ever? Yes, forever. Like, we're going to be in heaven worshiping Jesus forever. So it's super long. But this little green piece of tape right here, this is your life on earth compared to eternity. So we have this little time to learn how to worship God. And it's so important that we take time to worship in spirit and in truth, because that is literally what we were created to do and what we will be doing for the rest of eternity. Like, this is all you got right there. That's a great perspective, isn't it? Like, wow, make it count. Learn how to worship. Deepen your worship. Like, just, that's what God wants us to do. It's what he created us to do, is to worship. And I'm so thankful for it because I love to do it. So good.
That's so good. So why don't we
close? Yes, so I was going to say, to end this, I'm sorry, thank you for that. To end this just worship summer bod personal training experience for you guys, we are actually going to just practice worshiping right now. So Jordan and I are going to sing a song for you guys. And if you know it, just sing along and let's just worship together. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Now sing with a conscious mind. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Jesus, we are so thankful for the opportunity, God, that we have to come into your house and to join together in worship. You are worthy. God, there is no one beside you. There is no one like you. God, there is no one who deserves the attention, the affection, and the adoration that we give to you. Jesus, you alone are worthy. We're so thankful for this opportunity again, God, that we have to lift you up. You said that if you're lifted up, that you will draw all men unto yourself. So, God, we lift you up, believing that you will do that. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to learn about worship and to practice worship, God, to take our worship to another level. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.